Hi, and welcome to this presentation from the MVP Community Day in Taiwan of March 2014. This is actually a re-recorded presentation rather than the live presentation from the day. The reason I've had to re-record it is I had some lab issues during the presentation, which actually prevented me from kind of demoing all of what I wanted to show in the way that I wanted to show it. Also, I had some problems with my original recording in that Camtasia never captured all of my screen. So, unfortunately, I was left with a lot of unusable videos. So now I'm hoping to re-record this and upload it onto Channel 9. Of course, the downside of having to re-record and not actually being live is I don't have the people in the room who I originally had on the day. But from the questions I asked, pretty much everybody in the room was an Active Directory admin, all managing their Windows Server 2008 R2 environments with no real plans to upgrade to 2012 and 2012 R2 as yet. So they really were the right audience for whom this particular presentation targets. So to introduce myself again, my name is Matt Hitchcock. I'm a PowerShell MVP. I've been running the Singapore PowerShell user group for the past few years. I'm actually based in Singapore now, but you can probably tell from my accent, I'm originally from UK. We're actually running a lot of our PowerShell events online now, and if you'd like to join onto our events online, then we would love to have you there. So day to day, I'm a directory and identity guy primarily. I've been working with Active Directory for about 10 years in a large financial company. We've got a number of Active Directory environments deployed worldwide, servicing about 140,000 employees. We, of course, have varying levels of complexity in those environments as well. So all of that actually led to me beginning to learn PowerShell, and as a result, I'm now a PowerShell MVP, so it's all good. So that's really me. This presentation is entitled Windows Management Framework 4.0 and Active Directory, Improving Your Active Directory Management Experience. That's actually a really long title, so let's take a few moments to kind of level set exactly what we plan to cover in this presentation. So over the last 2 years, you'll have heard endless praise for Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2 and how manageable of an OS it is and how easy it is to automate and how good the management tools are. And while that's all true, what I've seen in the communities I'm involved with is that because all of this is pitched as part of 2012 marketing, people largely assume that it's part and parcel of the 2012 OS and 2012 platform only. What they don't usually realize is that the management experience of 2012 and 2012 R2 is underpinned by something called the Windows Management Framework. Further, people don't usually appreciate how easy it is to bring a number of enhancements that you would normally associate with 2012 to legacy environments. So while we all love 2012 and 2012 R2, and we want to upgrade all of our servers to it, the reality is that for most of us, we will continue to run some legacy environments for quite some time. Whether this is because we're waiting for budget or resources or investments to upgrade, or whether we know some of our environments will not be needed longer term and we plan to exit from them, we plan to decommission, we still need to run those environments for the medium to long term until that happens. But while we're stuck with a legacy technology for a while, it shouldn't mean that we have to be stuck with the old way of managing it as well. So my intention is to show you some of the practical ways you can take a legacy environment and perhaps make some improvements to the way you manage it with little to no investment. So if you can't move your OS onto the later version, you can at least move your tools and processes and skill set to a more future-ready way of managing your OS. Pretty much all of what I'll talk about today is high level. I will share some links to resources at the end where you can kind of go away and read into more detail. Most of what I will cover in this video is actually demo, so there's not that much PowerPoint left. But before we move on to the practical, a moment to have a primer over what the Windows Management Framework actually is so that we're all on the same page. So the Windows Management Framework is a set of components within Windows that aim to make your different versions of the Windows OS manageable in a common way and easier to manage at scale. The traditional way of managing Windows was very much on a server-by-server basis, and the more servers you deployed, the harder that became. The more versions of Windows you have, it became even harder. You only need to look at the Server Manager tool in Windows Server 2008 R2, and it really is only kind of targeted at one node, so it's not really that easy. So the Windows Management Framework actually sets out to solve the problem of multi-server management by, among other things, giving you a common automation engine in PowerShell. Now, I introduced myself earlier as a PowerShell MVP, so you must know that a lot of kind of PowerShell is coming. So PowerShell now underpins a number of admin tools as well. GUI tools in modern versions of Microsoft products are actually built on top of PowerShell. So WMF is a very core component now to how we manage our Windows environments. The Windows Management Framework also sets out to bring standards-based management to the Windows platform. So rather than Microsoft going off and creating their own protocols and standards for managing servers, they've chosen to adopt what the industry bodies such as DMTF are doing. This is all aimed at making the Windows platform easier to integrate with other vendors who choose to use those same standards. So it's all about making whatever you choose to have in your environments easier to manage and easier to integrate with other products. So a quick look at our table of versions. The Windows Management Framework consists of a set of components, and these differ by version. And while the Windows Management Framework sets out to give you a common way to manage servers, there are differences between versions, of course. And as WMF evolves, it adds more features. Much of the Windows Management Framework is actually built on top of the .NET framework and the capabilities of the operating system. So depending on which versions of those you have, the features and capabilities will be slightly different. I've left out the client OSs in this table because they're not really what we're talking about today. Today we're really looking at servers. However, the Windows Management Framework is also there and present on clients, and there's a lot that you're now able to do around automation of client management. So if that's an area you're involved with, I'd really encourage you to have a look at what you can automate on a client OS as well. But for the purposes of this, we're only really talking about servers. So there are two key components that we have within the Windows management framework, and these for me are where it really began to happen, and those are PowerShell, which is your automation engine with a command line and scripting interface, and WinRM as well, which is the remote management component. We mentioned in our last slide that WMF is implementing standards-based management, and this is an example of that. So in firewalled and segregated environments, this actually prevents having to open a load of ports for RPC, for DCOM, to enable management of your servers. Really good. So you'll see there that with Windows Server 2008 R2, we've got PowerShell 2 and WinRM. So the OS actually includes Windows Management Framework version 2. And if you look at the later versions, version 3 and version 4, you see that we begin to add a lot more features. The common practice is, however, most organizations don't tend to upgrade the Windows Management Framework components. This is largely because it's not delivered as a patch, it's delivered as an optional update. And it has been known to have some incompatibilities with some applications. So things like Configuration Manager and things like Exchange have had problems with later versions of WMF, so typically it's not something that gets deployed. However, if you choose to upgrade the version you've got, there are some really cool automations that, or automation technologies that we can take advantage of, and that's really what we plan to look at next. You'll see in version 4 as well, there's something there called desired state configuration. Now, when I asked in the room if anyone had seen this with PowerShell, I got a lot of blank, empty looks. So they really hadn't, and I never really got to kind of demo it as much as I sort of intended to. However, now that I'm re-recording this, I can. So looking forward to that. But desired state configuration is a huge, huge advancement in managing the Windows platform. It's a way of documenting the configuration that you want on your server, showing that to your server, and your server then enacting that configuration without you telling it how to do it. Really, really cool. So with that, let's move on to the demos. What I'm working with today is kind of a representation of a typical environment that would be in a number of companies today. So we've got a few, the main controllers, which are Windows Server 2008 R2. We've got a member server that we're ready to promote up to be a new domain controller, which is cool. We also have a Windows Server 2003 server to represent what's surely a massive number of application servers which are still out there, even though we should be moving off of them. And now that various executives and IT people and even internal users are running around using iPads and things internally, we've got a Mac OS with an iPad emulator, so we can show how we embrace non-Microsoft devices to help make our job easier. So with that, let's jump into the first demo and see what we can do. So demo one that I wanted to cover was managing Active Directory data. When we talk about managing Active Directory data, we're really talking about managing the objects within AD, users, computers, or that kind of thing. And we've actually been allowed to implement a 2012 R2 admin server. Now, for the purposes of this, you could have implemented either a 2012 or a 2012 R2 server, or a Windows 8 or a Windows 8.1 desktop. And the reason for this is we're looking to leverage the admin tools. So if we take a look at the new version of the Admin Center, one of the things we'll find is if we go down under System and Password Settings Objects, what we now have is a way to create and manage our password settings objects from within Active Directory Admin Center. That immediately makes life a lot easier, particularly as when you're creating a brand new user, what you can do is see which PSOs are directly assigned to the user, and you can add PSOs to the user as well. And I'm just going to create another user here quickly to show you an example of something else. So we mentioned before that in 2008 R2, PowerShell was something that perhaps wasn't quite as easy for a number of people to learn as it maybe could have been. So within our new version of the Active Directory Admin Center, what we now have is this really cool PowerShell history viewer. And you'll see I just created a user, and all of the commands I've used in order to create that user are actually here, which is really cool, right? So I can see all of the PowerShell used by the Active Directory Admin Center to create and enable my user. So basically, what I can do now is, if I hold Shift and press down, I can highlight every command that was used. I can copy this out, and if I switch into a new ISC window and paste, I then have everything I used in order to create and enable that user. And I can then take this and begin turning it into a script. So if I have a large number of users I need to create, I need to import, maybe I have all their attributes and their data in a format I can import, I can begin turning this into a script I can use. And the last thing I wanted to point out around the Admin Center, and, well, actually around the new version of the management tools, is Server Manager. Server Manager, if you haven't seen this before, compared to what we had in 2008, has been completely redesigned. And now, the intention is to give you a kind of overall service view across your servers, rather than having to manage it node by node. So you'll see here I've got an all servers, and what happens as well is every server that I've got, for the roles it has, they'll appear in this left-hand pane. So I can have a look at the overall health of my IIS environment, for example. I can have a look at my overall storage health and so forth. So what we can actually do is, using these tools, we can add in all of our 2008 R2 domain controllers and then have a complete service view of them. So let's have a look at doing that. I actually have a domain controller or two that exist already where I have upgraded the version of the Windows Management Framework already. Because as you'll see, the required version of the Windows Management Framework that we need is version 3 or above. So on DCG 1, DCG 2, and I think DCG 3 as well, I've got the Windows Management Framework version 4 already present. And you'll see that on DCG 04, it's not yet available. So whilst I can add the server in, until I upgrade it from the original version of the Windows Management Framework that it comes with, I can't manage that server via Server Manager. But you'll notice as well, now that I've added in domain controllers, on the left I see here two more nodes covering the roles that are installed on the servers I just added. So now I get an overall view of my Active Directory service, and I can see events related to that. Same with DNS, I can see events related to that. So the really cool thing about the new Server Manager is you can manage servers en masse. So I'm able to add and remove roles and features on multiple servers at a time, but not with 2008 R2. So basically, the point here is there are some limitations around what you'll get in Server Manager when you're managing a 2012 or above server compared to a 2008 R2 or a 2008 server. Remember that the Windows Management Framework version 3 is also compatible with 2008 servers, which is the minimum required version you need in order to use Server Manager. We do have the problem with DCG 04 that we need to go ahead and fix. However, just before we do that, I want to give you a quick look at the new GPMC version that comes with the new version of the RSAT tools. The reason I want to point this out is that there's something in here that I really love, and that's Remote Group Policy Refresh. So what you're able to do is, by going into a particular OU in the GPMC, you're able to right-click on that OU, and there's a Group Policy Update feature here. If you click on that, basically what it's going to do is it's going to go off and force a group policy reset or a GP update force on every machine within that OU, provided that it's Windows 7 or above. So if I click on yes, what's going to happen there is it's going to go off and initiate that refresh on every machine in that OU. And the way that works is it's creating a remote scheduled task on each of the machines that are online and that the console can contact. It's creating a scheduled task with a random interval within the next 10 minutes that will be initiated on the local machine. And that essentially runs a GP update. So if we close that, right, now we do have the issue around DCG04 not being able to be managed from within Server Manager. So let's go ahead and fix that. But before we do, let's just conclude on this management point. So taking a quick checkpoint on where we are. We took a regular environment that was running Windows Server 2008 R2 domain controllers, and we've added a single 2012 R2 admin server with the remote server admin tools. What that's given us is a new version of the Active Directory Admin Center, which has a PowerShell history viewer, which is going to help us learn PowerShell a lot easier. We've got the password settings objects management as well from within the Active Directory Admin Center. We also have a number of new PowerShell commandlets. I actually forgot to mention this during the demo, but we do have a number of new commandlets added to the Active Directory PowerShell module. So I would encourage you to check those out. And there's a lot that are new that work with Windows Server 2008 R2 domain controllers. And those include the syncad object commandlet, where you can actually force an object to replicate via PowerShell. As well as that, we have our group policy management console, and the new version includes a way to kind of force a GP update on every machine in a particular OU. We also took a look at Server Manager. So we've got a new version of Server Manager, which is aimed more at viewing all of your servers as a service rather than trying to manage servers node by node. And we saw we can add in 2008 R2 servers into Server Manager, provided they're running the correct version of the Windows Management Framework. So Windows Server 2008 R2 comes with Windows Management Framework version 2 out of the box. But if we upgrade that to Windows Management Framework 3 and over, we can then bring it into our Server Manager console and begin to manage it in a new 2012 friendly way. So the important thing to point out is when we've deployed the RSAT tools on our 2012 admin server, we've not had to make a change to the Windows Management Framework on any of our existing domain controllers. In my example, I had already on two domain controllers because I wanted to be able to show adding those into the console in Server Manager. However, in order to use the new commandlets, in order to use GPMC, in order to use the new version of the Active Directory Admin Center, I didn't actually need to do that. So you can actually go ahead and deploy a 2012 server or a Windows 8 desktop with the RSAT tools and begin taking advantage of managing your domain controllers with these new tools before you implement any Windows Management Framework upgrade on your DCs. So let's move on to our next point, which is continuing along with the theme of server management. And we are going to have a look at how we can upgrade the Windows Management Framework on DCG4 to bring that into the Server Manager console. And then we'll also have a look at, once it's in there, what we can actually change in terms of the way we manage our domain controllers now and what the Server Manager gives us. So here we are on DCG04. We can ignore that. And the reason I wanted to show you this is because with the deployment of the Windows Management Framework version 4, there's actually a little bit of a gotcha to be aware of. So I have the package on my local disk here, and I'm going to apply it manually today. However, you would normally deploy this via a kind of patch management solution or something like that. So we've got the update here, and I'm just going to go ahead and run this and prepare the installer. It shouldn't actually take that long. So we'll be prompted to go ahead. Will we like to install the update? Obviously, yes. And we'll click through the update. And it's going to go ahead and complete surprisingly quickly. But the interesting thing is, what you are going to see here is that we're done and we're complete. So theoretically, then, we've deployed the Windows Management Framework version 4. That comes with PowerShell version 4, right? We've not been prompted to reboot or anything. So if I just fire up PowerShell and I do a get host, we are going to see, well, we're still on version 2. And that's actually quite confusing. So the reason that that happens is a prerequisite for the Windows Management Framework version 4 is the .NET Framework version 4.5. If that's not present on your system, though, unfortunately, nothing's going to tell you that it's not there and that you need to deploy it. So you may well miss it and then end up confused as to why the upgrade hasn't worked properly. So I'm just going to run this and deploy this now. Again, it shouldn't really take too long. So if you have already tried to install WMF4 and it hasn't worked, really all you need to do is go ahead and just deploy the .NET Framework version 4.5 or above, and then reinstall the WMF4 package. Okay, and then over the top, we can just redeploy the WMF4 package. And yes, and I accept. And there it is. And this time, we're actually prompted to reboot. Before I click on restart now, though, I want to just go ahead into Server Manager and make sure that this machine is available to be managed remotely. So, installing Windows Management Framework 3 and over is one prerequisite for managing a server from within the 2012 Server Manager. However, we also need to make sure that we've enabled it for remote management. Now, normally you would set this within a GPO, otherwise, you'll need to go around and kind of manually set it on every server, which is not really a good way to go. So, for this example, however, I will do this manually, and there's a checkbox here. So, enable remote management of the server from other computers, which in Windows 2008 R2 is disabled by default. So we do need to change this. I have it set already, so I'm all good. And I can hit restart. And what will happen now is once this machine comes up again, it will be visible and we can manage it from within Server Manager. So just flicking over to Server Manager, if we now run a refresh on this machine, it may take a few moments because we're rebooting that server, but there you go. So that server is now completely manageable. So now that we have our domain controllers manageable from within Server Manager, what exactly can we do? Well, DCG04 is not actually a domain controller as yet. So it is purely a member server. It may have the Active Directory role installed. As you can see though, I can't actually go through and check. So even if I try to search DCG04, it's not going to happen for me. So I can't really use this to add remove servers, but how can I do a remote DC promo, for example? So when you right click on the server, if it has any roles installed, you'll have the option to launch their management tools and connect to it. What we also have as well is a remote PowerShell connection. Now, we did have PowerShell remoting available to us anyway before this. However, now it's easier to launch it from a central console. There's no logging in, there's no typing you need to do. You just right-click on your server, you choose Windows PowerShell, and a connection's made for you. So remember that in PowerShell, it actually supports running most of the command line tools and things that you would normally be used to using. In 2008 R2, remember that we use DC promo to promote and to demote domain controllers. So in this case, we can still continue to do that. And I happen to have an answer file on this server somewhere. So in my case here, I need to be able to promote a domain controller. And I have a pre-prepared answer file which I can just go ahead and run. And there it is. We're off actually promoting our new 2008 R2 domain controller from a remote PowerShell connection. So if we switch over to our domain controller, you'll see it's just now returning from a reboot. And if we switch back, once that comes up, we can run a refresh and it will appear here. So now that we have all of our domain controllers manageable from within Server Manager, and the last one that we had is promoting, let's have a quick recap on where we are with our environment. Our new checkpoint is that we've now upgraded the version of the Windows Management Framework on all of our 2008 R2 domain controllers. So originally they had the Windows Management Framework version 2. We've taken that and we've upgraded it to a newer version, which means with our 2012 or our Windows 8 management box, we're now able to use Server Manager to manage our domain controllers in that new service-oriented view. In order to get this, We didn't have to deploy version 4, we could have gone with version 3. However, the latest version is version 4, and there's a lot more we can take advantage of, so that's what we've gone ahead and used. We had to also remember to enable remote management, which is WinRM. So we made a remote PowerShell connection to our box to promote it to a domain controller. We had to have WinRM enabled to do that. We saw as well that even though we could manage our 2008 R2 domain controllers in Server Manager, it had some limitations, so not everything's supported. So we had some challenges around adding and removing roles, and also around promoting and demoting domain controllers. So in 2012 and 2012 R2, you would be able to do those promotions from either Server Manager or from PowerShell, not using DC Promo, but we've had to continue to use DC Promo for 2008 R2. However, we were able to run that from a remote PowerShell connection instead. So already through just these few changes, there's a few really key management improvements that we've already made to our domain controllers. So let's see how we can take this even further. The next example of an improvement we can make is around managing servers remotely. One of the things that provides us a challenge with managing different environments are when they need to be segregated and protected by firewalls. Typically, a lot of ports need to be open to allow management of servers. This is a problem. You need to either know where management traffic is coming from, or you need to allow access from anywhere. As we know, there's a trend of moving to remote server management, so managing the servers from a remote machine or wherever you are, without actually logging into the box locally. If admins are using their desktops or their remote devices, then you need to ensure that traffic is allowed to every server that they need to manage from those desktops or devices, which may change day to day or week to week. You need to also ensure that all the modules an admin will need in order to do their job are deployed to all of the machines that they will need to use. You also need to maintain PowerShell execution policies to make sure that admins can execute the code that they need to run locally in order to manage a server remotely. That's actually quite a lot to do, particularly when trying to maintain a more secure environment. So one way around this is to implement a PowerShell web access server. This ensures that you can allow admins to run everything from a trusted endpoint, as in all the traffic and all the management tasks initiate from that known PowerShell web server, no matter from where a user is connecting. Which means you only need to manage the execution policies and modules on the PowerShell web servers. What that also means is that the device in which an admin is using in order to manage remote machines using PowerShell becomes a lot less relevant, and actually that enables more choice and more freedom for the admin. And in this example, we'll actually take a look at server management through PowerShell web access from an iPad. Let's switch over again to our Windows Server 2012 admin server. I won't talk that much about implementing PowerShell web access. There's actually a really good implementation guide on TechNet, and I've added a link to that at the end of the presentation. So you can head off and check that out in your own time. But with PowerShell Web Access, you'll see that it's actually added using roles and features from Server Manager. And of course, you can remotely or locally do this with PowerShell. So if we take a look at roles and features on our local admin server, what we see under, sorry, it's not under roles, it's under features, under the PowerShell, Windows PowerShell, we see Windows PowerShell Web Access, and you see that that's installed. So we already have this deployed. And if we switch over to our Mac running our iPad emulator, what you'll see here is I already have the login page open. So this is running on what could quite easily be my iPad. So I'm an admin working from home. I have a remote connection in. I'm using my iPad. And I can actually come to this server and log in either to the server or I can connect to a remote server. So in this case, I've got a Windows Server 2003 machine out there, which I want to be able to remotely manage. And my connection policies, which I've set up, allow me to connect to that server over the network from my PowerShell Web Access server. So even though I'm using a new 2012 feature, what I've actually done is I've connected to my remote server here, which is SVR01. And I can show you just if we go ahead and run some PowerShell. Object. Class, and I want to do win32_operating_system. And if we do select caption, you'll see that the machine I'm connected to with my remote PowerShell is actually running Windows Server 2003. So this is a really good way to actually manage all machines in your environment. Now, there's not much else to show on PowerShell Web Access at this point, but we will return to using it later as a part of our later demos. So now is a good opportunity to take a checkpoint. And because we have a 2012 or a 2012 R2 server deployed in our legacy environment, we're now able to implement PowerShell Web Access, which is an optional feature in Windows Server 2012 R2. There's a really good implementation guide on TechNet, and basically what this enables you to do is provide a trusted endpoint for admin for your IT guys. So whether they're working on any machine in your enterprise or if they're remote on an iPad, or even you can open it up so that they can connect in remotely from their home machines, all your management traffic and all your automation traffic can originate from one known trusted point. And that means that you only need to manage the modules and execution policies on those PowerShell Web Access servers. And it means that you know where all your management traffic is coming from. So if you're in a secure environment, then you're able to keep it a little more locked down without having to compromise too much on remote management of your servers. So really good, really, really worth checking out. So I'm conscious of time now because this presentation is only meant to last an hour. So we'll move on to the second to last demo. And this one relates to using known good configuration on your servers. The demo environment that we're working with today happens to be an application hosting environment. So the real world kind of the real world scenario that we're trying to kind of emulate here is that these are domain controllers in an application hosting environment. And in my example scenario, in my example company, what I didn't mention before is that in some locations, applications are actually installed on domain controllers. Now, this is not normally a practice that anybody would recommend. Domain controllers should exist on their own and should be just their own server, their own role. However, in some environments, and I've actually seen this out in the world, what happens is sometimes the machines that run domain controllers are multi-purpose based on it can be down to cost. So a particular location or a particular project may have needed both application servers and domain controllers. They may not have had the money for both, so they've had to kind of double up. This is before virtualization really kind of came in. A lot of environments that you might encounter out in the world, or you might have in your company, are probably quite old environments that have really kind of developed from something that was maybe NT4 or early Windows 2000 and just kind of built up. But the roles and the deployment pattern in place has never really changed. So in this example, we've got applications running on our domain controllers, and consequently, application admins have permissions over the domain controller OS. And they keep adding things and changing things that really we just would rather they weren't there. However, these application admins have found a way to circumvent our approval in the change process. And sometimes we don't even realize that things have changed until domain controllers begin having problems. When these problems occur, though, what we want is a way to be able to reset our domain controller configuration to a known documented state. And at least if that doesn't resolve the issue, then we have a known good place to begin to troubleshoot further. This is where a new feature of PowerShell 4 really comes into play, and that's called desired state configuration. Now, this is actually a really, really huge topic, and I will refer you to a number of resources online where you can dive deeper. In this scenario and this example, we'll only cover a quick and simple demo. However, I'm hoping it's going to be enough that it will really pique your interest and you'll want to know more, and you'll realize the value that this can actually bring to your 2008 R2 environment. So let's jump in and take a look at a demo of desired state configuration. So let's switch it over to our admin server once again. Now, in this made up scenario, the problem that we're having is our application admins keep on adding some particular components onto our domain controllers that we really would rather don't want to be there, kind of thing. We would rather not have these particular components present. So we are going to use desired state configuration to make sure that that's not the case. Now, this is an example of a desired state configuration script, which is written in special PowerShell syntax. And as you can see, we're creating a configuration called DC baseline. We're taking a parameter of a node name, and I'll explain that later. And literally in this example, all we plan to do is make sure that two Windows features are absent. So that's IIS and the migration tools. So in this simple example, even though we're only looking at making sure that two particular Windows features are not present, desired state configuration can do a whole lot more. It can manage applications, components, directories, data, services, processes, all of that. And there's actually the Windows PowerShell team have been working on custom resources which they are creating to extend the use of PowerShell desired state configuration. And there are links actually to those resources in my deck, which you can check out at the end. So there's a few moving parts to desired state configuration, and that's one, you need to have your PowerShell, which outlines the configuration that you want, and it turns it into a MOF configuration document. It's a standards-based framework document, which I'll show you how that looks in a minute. But initially, what we want to do is, and I just want to make sure that I run the right commands here. So I've already created this and saved this. So I'm going to run this command just here, which is to create my desired state configuration. So if I just load this, then what I can do is I can execute that line, and that's going to go ahead and create our MOF document that I mentioned just a moment ago. So it's in my share. There we go. Oops. Okay. Does not seem to want to open. Let's try this again. Okay, not quite sure what's going on there, but let's try it another way. So the path I used was DSC. Okay. So within this, seem to have a stuck key. So the result of running that PowerShell to outline how we want our server to be configured is we output this MOF document like this. This is something that a local configuration manager agent that's running on any server that runs Windows Management Framework version 4 and PowerShell 4 can read in and understand. So what we've basically done is turn this into this. So this is a MOF document that we can now hand to our server for it to enact. And this is really the magic part. We don't need to tell the server how to do what we want it to do. So we've highlighted here that we want it to be able to remove IIS if it's present, make sure it's absent, and we want it to remove the migration tools if they're present. We want to make sure it's absent. We don't need to tell it how to remove it, what commands to run, or whatever else. It just knows. So what we are going to do We did actually create this MOF document for DCG02, and if we have a look at our document, this applies to DCG02. So what we're going to do now is if we just flick over to DCG02, and if we open up our PowerShell prompt, we first need to import the Server Manager module. And then if we do get Windows feature, web server and migration, we'll see that, we should see, yeah, these two components are installed. So what we want to do now is if we switch over to our admin server again, is we want to tell DCG02 to take this MOF document and apply it, which ensures that the web server role is absent and the migration tools are absent. So in order to do that, I'm going to first run a test of the configuration. So what this is actually going to do is show DCG02 the MOF document that we've created, and that will tell us if the server meets our desired state or not. Usually I'd run this from the PowerShell Web Access server, but for simplicity I'll just run this from here. So if I execute that line, what we'll see now is we're reaching out over the wire to DCG02, we're showing it the MOF document, and we're having the local configuration manager on DCG02 run some tests to see whether the server matches our configuration, and we can see here that that's false. We could quite as easily have run this from PowerShell Web Access, so we could be at home on our couch, we get a call that there's a problem with our domain controller 02, so we connect into remote PowerShell, we run a desired configuration test, and we see that something's wrong, something's changed somewhere. So we want to go ahead and correct that. So that's what we are going to do here. We are going to start the configuration with the document for DCG02 on computer name DCG02. So if we start that running, what's going to happen now is the local configuration manager on DCG02 will run through the MOF document we've got. Anything that does not match will be changed until it matches our desired state. So that means we've said we want the IIS web server removed and we want the migration tools removed. And as you can see from down here, that's exactly what's happening. We haven't had to tell it how to remove it. We just know we want it removed and Windows knows how to remove it. So let's switch over and have a look. If we switch over to our server again and run that same command, we should see that one of the features is not yet removed. And that's because if we switch back, it should say a reboot is required to progress further. So what we can do is restart the computer DCG02 wait force. So let's go ahead and run that. Oh. Let's try to run the whole line to force it. And if we switch over, we'll see that our server's actually off rebooting and completing the removal of those components. While that configuration completes, let's take a quick checkpoint. Since we've deployed the Windows Management Framework version 4 onto our domain controllers, what we now have is the use of desired state configuration. And we can use this either to make sure components are there or make sure components are removed. This can be a really, really good tool in a troubleshooting scenario if you're having a problem trying to keep on top of your configuration, as in you have other admins who have got permission to change things on your domain controllers that you maybe don't like. You may have software or something else which makes changes that shouldn't happen or you don't like. This is a good way to roll things back. And as well, if you've got a brand new domain controller that you're deploying and you want to make sure certain applications are there, certain services are running, certain directories are there, this is another good way to do all of that without having to do it manually and without having to write long, complex scripts. So you can just have pretty much a newly built OS and you have your desired state configuration document. You just apply that to your OS. Even though it's Windows 2008 R2 and not 2012 or 2012 R2, it knows how to take that and it knows how to enact it. And it can take out a lot of the manual work for you. If you're looking for some really good desired state configuration resources, there's another PowerShell MVP called Stephen Morawski who's actually implemented this over the last year at two major websites. You probably recognize their names, but he was very involved in this when it was initially coming out, and he's widely held in the PowerShell community as the DSC guy. So look him up. He's got a lot of content online. He's got a lot of good resources. He also wrote some really good articles for PowerShell.org, and those are linked at the end of my presentation. So we need to have PowerShell version 4, which comes with the Windows Management Framework version 4, in order to use this, and that is compatible with Windows 2008 R2. So this is exactly what we are talking about today. If you can't upgrade your legacy environments, that should not mean that you can't use these really, really cool things like this. And if you look at DSC overall, in many cases, it's more appropriate than a GPO. So the way I tend to look at it is I like to use GPOs for things that should never be changed. And I'm looking at using desired state configuration where I just want to have a machine look a certain way, but I might want to have to be able to change it a little, to tweak it around without having to have the GPO limitations hanging over me. And a real good use case for this is when you have an incident and perhaps something's not quite working the way it ought to be on your domain controllers, you can take your DSC configuration documents, you can test it, you can see if anything has changed. And if it has, you can just reset it. And as we saw, that's only two commands, one to check, one to enact a reset, and that's it. You're good to go. All right, so that about brings us to our last scenario that I wanted to cover as part of this presentation, which is a way to automate production changes. Now, sometimes you need to run different different tasks as a part of a prerequisite preparation for a production change. So let's take an example. We're planning to make a change to a huge number of Active Directory objects and to update some attributes on there with new values. And before we do that, we need to make sure that we've got a way to roll those changes back, right? So in this case, we want to make sure that should anything go wrong, we're able to do a complete recovery of all those Active Directory objects. So in other words, we need to take backups. So as a part of this change, we've identified a number of tasks that we want to do beforehand. And those are, we are going to take two servers. You can actually take as many as you want, but this is a lab, so we are going to take two servers. And on each of those two servers, we want to restart the server. We want to set up the server so that we can use the OS disk as a location for backups. We want to make sure the Windows Server backup software is present and available to us. We want to then restart the server again, and then we want to initiate a one-time backup of our system state. Now, to do all those tasks manually might take some time, particularly if it's on more than two servers, and there's a lot of RDP involved, a lot of GUI involved. If we script it, we've got a problem in that we need to do two server restarts. So how will we handle those? How will we cope with those two restarts? How will we track when the server is up again and when we need to continue? It's going to be tough. So for this, we can actually use a PowerShell workflow. A workflow is much more appropriate here because it allows us to run a sequence of tasks and survive reboots. So the workflow keeps track of everything that's going on and what it needs to do next until it completes the sequence. A script wouldn't do this quite so well. In this example workflow that I'm about to show, I've set out all of those tasks, and because I managed to do a lot of testing in my work time, I know that this works. So when it comes the time for me to actually run these tasks in production as a preparation for my change, I can choose to run this out of hours from the comfort of home, using my iPad and PowerShell web access. So let's switch over to our admin server again and take a quick look at our workflow within PowerShell. So this is basically the code that we're using for our workflow. And we're taking a input of computer name so that we can run this on multiple machines. And in parallel, we are going to execute this sequence. Now, if you're planning to run this on all your machines, I'd suggest you think about using parallel, particularly if they're the main controllers, because if you were to run it on all the main controllers at one time, you might end up having all your domain controllers restart at roughly the same time, and that would completely take down your Active Directory. Probably not a very good idea, so I'd look at how I'm using parallel, particularly when working with the main controllers. Anyway, the sequence of actions that we will perform are listed here. So we plan to do a reboot and wait until it comes up again. Then we are going to run a script which will add the backup software. And after we've added that, to make sure everything's okay, we are going to do a reboot so that we've got a fresh machine to work with. We are going to create some registry keys. And these are going to allow us to use the OS partition as a place to back up to. This is not something that's normally recommended in a production environment. However, I have a lab, so I need to do this in order to complete the demo. From there, we are going to run another script, which is going to import the Windows backup module into PowerShell. We are going to create a new backup, and then we are going to initialize that backup and actually execute it and run it. So that is what we plan to do, and we've got this saved in a share on the workflow, on the admin server. Well, I just mentioned I was going to run that example workflow against two remote domain controllers from PowerShell Web Access from my iPad emulator. And as bad luck would have it, I ran into some problems with my VMs and my lab, and everything just pretty much ground to a halt. So I had to cut recording and then return to this. And for now, we are going to need to run this from our admin machine. So I've made some slight changes to the workflow. We've gone from this, where I've basically removed a for each loop, which I won't need based on how I plan to execute it, and just turned this whole sequence of work into a standalone sequence. And then what I've got at the end of this is a way to execute this against a number of computers using the PS computer name parameter. So basically what we're going to do now is we are going to submit this workflow, and then exactly like we would a function at the end, we are going to call it, give it some parameters for computers, and choose to see a verbose output. Because we're running it remotely, we want to see what's going on. So let's just go ahead and check that our domain controllers are at a logon screen and not loading up or anything like that. DCG1 seems to be ready. DCG4 looks like it's ready to go as well. So let's go ahead and submit this. And what you're going to see is that workflow executing. So our two domain controllers should now be rebooting. If we switch over and just see, yep, there we go. And that's going to continue on basically and run this sequence. It's a little too long to kind of hang around and watch, but we can tell we've got some reboots happening now. We've got some waiting, some verification, and then that workflow is going to continue. So let's move on to our checkpoint. And this, by looking at the time, I'm sure you'll be glad to hear that this is the last checkpoint of the presentation. So we've just used a PowerShell workflow from the Windows Management Framework version 3 and PowerShell version 3, although they are, of course, present in later versions as well, to prepare multiple machines with some prerequisite tasks to be ready for a change. So this is really where workflows come into their own. They're not so good when you're trying to make a kind of baseline configuration change. For that, you would more be looking at a GPO or desired state configuration. But these are really good for when you need to run a sequence of tasks on multiple machines, and you need to be able to kind of track that sequence, take checkpoints, and even run a reboot between different parts of that sequence. So this is really where workflows come into their own, and they completely work in a 2008 R2 environment as well. So what I would say about workflows as well is arguably they're a lot more reliable than performing manual changes. If you wanted to do all these manual tasks on multiple machines, you need to keep track of what you're actually doing. You could type commands wrong, you could click the wrong options, you could miss things out because you accidentally get called away to do something else or something like that. Workflows are a lot more reliable. And if you put your time during your actual core working hours, your core working day, into this automation, when you have an out-of-hours change, it means you can just run it knowing that this will work and there's not much actually hands-on work needed from you as a part of implementing that change. And if you're keen to get started with workflows, I'd like to call out on the Hey Scripting Guy blog. There's a really good series from Richard Sidaway, who's also a PowerShell MVP. And I would suggest taking a look at that. Okay, so let's move on and wrap this up, particularly based on time. I've overrun quite a lot. What we've seen is that with little to no investment, there's a lot more automation we can take advantage of as part of managing our Windows Server 2008 R2 Active Directory platform. We've taken a look at new tools we can use if we're able to deploy one 2012 R2 or one Windows 8.1 machine. From that, we got a new tool to manage Active Directory in the Active Directory Admin Center. We got an advanced GPO management. We got a number of new commandlets. I never showed those. I would encourage you to check out all the new PowerShell commandlets that come with the 2012 and Windows 8 RSAT tools. And most important of those tools, we got Server Manager. Server Manager is where we needed to upgrade our version of the Windows Management Framework. Using the other tools allowed us to run our Windows 2008 R2 servers without any changes, but it's where we wanted to move things into Server Manager that we needed to make that change. In doing so, we got quite a number of enhancements and improvements to our management experience. We then also took a look at something called PowerShell Web Access, which is something that comes with 2012 and 2012 R2 and is enabled or delivered by the Windows Management Framework version 3 and 4. And this gave us a new way to manage our environment. It means we're no longer tied to our particular devices. So as an admin, I can move around from a desktop to an iPad or something like that and continue to be able to remotely access and remotely manage my environment. And with that, if you've got some network considerations and some security considerations you need to take into account, PowerShell Web Access is a really good way to get around that because it gives you a known point from which all your management traffic will be generated. So in terms of your security monitoring, in terms of how you manage access, you can do all of that at the PowerShell Web Access server. We then moved on to having a look at something new with PowerShell version 4 and the Windows Management Framework 4 called Desired State Configuration. And that allows us to create a documented configuration for our domain controllers. And that can include not only things that we want the machine to have, such as certain shares, having certain services running. Also, it can include things that we would not want to be there. So application packages, roles, anything that we know might be present that we want removed, we can also add into that desired state configuration document. And where that can really come into its own is during incidents and during troubleshooting. We have a way to just quickly check if anything on that machine has changed from what we know we want it to be and what we know we need it to be. And then if it has, well, we have an easy way to reset that configuration with one command. And that then gives us a known good place, a known good configuration to continue our troubleshooting efforts from. And then lastly, we had a look at a PowerShell workflow, which really comes into its own when you're preparing for production changes. So if you want to make a core change, a core configuration change, we've mentioned it's more appropriate to control that from either GPO or with desired state configuration. If you just have a long sequence of tasks you need to run, perhaps preparation tasks across multiple machines, a workflow is a really easy way to take care of that. You can just write it, test it, and then when your change window comes, you know you can just execute it, leave it to run, and then you're on with your change. So everything we've looked at today has revolved around Windows Server 2008 R2, and I've referred to that as legacy. I'm well aware that everyone has a lot of even more legacy Windows versions than that. And if you're looking for a way to kind of get into using PowerShell and into automation with Windows Server 2003 or 2008, there's a lot of content produced around certainly the Active Directory side by a PFE from Microsoft called Ashley McGlone. I would certainly recommend looking up his guide on managing Active Directory with PowerShell. Lastly, what I would say is the Windows Management Framework, particularly version 4, enables a lot of automation opportunities for us compared to what we originally have over Windows 2008 R2 out of the box. I would strongly encourage you to look into this and look at ways you can leverage this technology to make your Active Directory management experience a lot better and a lot more automated, and perhaps even free up a little more time for yourself to do exactly what it is you want to be doing. So with that, I just have some resources to share. You can pause it here and have a search online if you want, or here. Or alternatively, if you're looking at this from Channel 9, there should also be a link to my presentation where you can download that and then actually use the links from within PowerPoint. And lastly, if you'd like to get in contact with me, I tend to blog at this address. I also run the PowerShell user group in Singapore. We have a page on Facebook. We're also listed as a PowerShell user group on powershell.org, which I encourage you to check out. And my Twitter handle is HitchyESG, so if you want to take a look at my profile on LinkedIn as well, that's up there for you. And lastly, I would like to say thank you to Microsoft and to the MVP program for giving me the opportunity to come to Taipei